Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Quinn Tu, your host for Doing Good is Good for Business. Our topic today is set up your company's legal foundation to do good. And our leading gentleman today is John Montgomery with Lex Ultima. And I will have John explain a little bit about what he does with his company. But needless to say, John is a very accomplished person. He's given several TED Talks on this topic of setting up the legal foundation for good corporate citizenship. And John also has the distinction of having co-chaired the legal working group behind California's benefit corporation legislation. So I'm so excited and honored to have John on the show today. John, welcome.
Thank you, Quinn. It's great to be on the show.
Well, I am so honored that you said yes when I reached out to you, because I know that you were one of the key figures to bringing the benefit corporation to California, and you've been working on this for a long time. So most of our listeners are probably not familiar with the benefit corporation. We'll go into that a little bit, but would you give us a little bit of a background on how you got started with the idea that companies can actually do good as corporate citizens? I mean, don't they do that already?
Well, they do to a certain extent, but what drew me into this work was that I spent a lot of my time in the boardroom as general counsel to private and public companies. And what I observed was that really good human beings, like me and Quinn, who follow the golden rule in our private lives, would get into the boardroom, and the golden rule gets checked at the door. Under the prevailing corporate law of Delaware, the corporation has a solitary purpose of maximizing stockholder welfare, according to the current Chief Justice of the Delaware Supreme Court. And so This doctrine is known as shareholder primacy, has a codicil, which is that it's morally acceptable to externalize as many of the negative costs and consequences of corporate behavior onto society and the environment as you possibly can. And this made me feel uncomfortable in the boardroom in the 90s as I watched a lot of my semiconductor clients move manufacturing first to Taiwan and then to mainland China and look the other way with respect to labor conditions, environmental conditions, and practice of hiring consultants to funnel money to the Chinese government to make sure electricity was still running to the factory and so on and so forth. And I started feeling a lot of cognitive dissonance, and this led me into studying the history of the corporation and how it came to lack a social and environmental conscience. And that led me to tinkering with corporate governance architecture in the pre-benefit corporation days for some of the pioneer social entrepreneurs. I encountered the folks from B-Lab who were behind the national push for benefit corporation legislation, and it was a a marriage made in heaven, so to speak, because I found a bunch of like-minded people who had similarly concluded that if we make a few small changes to the corporate code, we can change corporations from being prone to sociopathic behavior to being prone to altruistic behavior.
Okay. So you've covered quite a bit of things there. Let's back up a little bit and let's start with when a business owner creates a company, what are the choices that they have as it stands right now?
Well, most business owners think they have a choice between a regular corporation and a limited liability company. Those are generally the most common choices that entrepreneurs feel that are available to them. And frankly, those are the two most common choices that of legal entities that most corporate lawyers will put their clients into without thinking very much. But there's a new choice that has emerged, which is the benefit corporation.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier about the Delaware Corporations Code. For those of us that don't do business in Delaware, why should we care about the Delaware Corporations Code?
Well, Delaware is funny. It's this little tiny state that is the locus of jurisdiction for more than a million of our 6 million corporations and the majority of publicly traded ones. Delaware figured out a long time ago that corporate franchise taxes were a great way to raise taxes. And Delaware smartly created a corporate code with clear rules that tends to be pro-management and set up a set of special business courts of chancery with judges that are well-versed in business matters to attract businesses to incorporate in Delaware. And so Delaware has evolved to be the thought leader, so to speak, in U.S. corporate law and to a lesser extent to corporate law globally.
So how did California beat Delaware to the benefit corporation statute? I know that we in California adopted the statute in 2012, and Delaware was a year late to the party.
Well, here's what happened. There were five relatively small states that adopted benefit corporation legislation before California, and I think it was Hawaii, Maryland, Vermont, and I forget the other two. And the folks at B-Lab found that they had a large number of certified B corporations in California. I think the plurality of certified B corps were in fact in Northern California, and they decided to see if they could get benefit corporation legislation passed in California as the sixth state, figuring that If the biggest state in the union would adopt benefit corporation legislation, the rest would follow. There was a lot of resistance to the idea in Delaware, and Delaware wasn't expected to even begin to consider benefit corporation legislation until 2014 or 15. But when California passed the law, New York soon followed. New York was the next state. They were number seven. So all of a sudden we have two of the three largest states in the union having adopted benefit corporation legislation, and Delaware then woke up and said, geez, we may lose this we may lose business if another state takes the lead in becoming the go-to state for benefit corporations. So they in 2013 they quickly pulled together their own version of the benefit corporation legislation.
Okay. Now, here's something that I know a lot of people get confused, and that's the term benefit corporation and certified B Corp, which you had mentioned in explaining the development of the benefit corporation statute.
Well,
did you encounter that?
Well, it's very common for people to conflate the terms benefit corporation and certified B Corp. And both benefit corporations and B Corps are often affectionately called B Corps. And what gets even more confusing is that a business can be a certified B corporation, a B Corp, which is a business that has passed B Lab's social and environmental assessment, and not be a corporation. It can be a limited liability company. It can be a partnership. It can be a sole proprietorship. It can be a corporation. And a benefit corporation is a creature of statute. So it's a particular type of corporation, for-profit, that is authorized by the corporate code of a particular state. And most corporate statutes follow the model benefit corporation law, which requires benefit corporations to certify using a third-party standard, such as the B Corp, certified B Corporation assessment, how well they are doing in providing a material positive impact on society and the environment. So it gets very confusing because everybody calls benefit corporations and certified B Corps B Corps, and one can be a benefit corporation without being a certified B Corp, and one can be a B Corp or a certified B Corp without being a corporation. So it's we always have to have this exact discussion whenever we're talking about this topic to make sure that people understand the nomenclature.
Yeah, I discovered that when I first started researching and really understanding this area 5-6 years ago as well. And I've come to know and are very clear as to this distinction, especially as lawyers, right? It's a big distinction that for everybody else out there, it's a B Corp. And most often I've also encountered companies are both. They're both certified B Corps and they are benefit corporation when they are in a state that allows them to fund as a benefit corporation.
Yeah, that I think that you'll find that that's true. A lot of certified B Corps are benefit corporations.
Speaking of which, I get asked this question a lot, and I'd like to hear your take on it. And it is, what is the benefit of becoming a benefit corporation?
Well, I think it's benefits plural. There are lots of benefits. But the form isn't for everybody. I think the most obvious benefit is that most of the time we're unconscious when we incorporate a company. We are excited about our business. We know we have to get a lawyer. We're all afraid of dealing with lawyers because we're expensive. We're perceived as being obnoxious and contentious and all kinds of other stereotypes.
Issue with that because I don't think that you and I are obnoxious. And I know a lot of my colleagues are not obnoxious.
I know. I'm being a little bit hyperbolic. I would agree. I think we're we are modeling that lawyers are human beings too, and we have hearts, and we do the right thing in the world because ultimately, we're upholders of the social laws of our society. It's a very important
right
role that we fulfill.
Right. Right. And that's why we're doing what we're doing in terms of promoting good corporate citizenship, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So continuing on with the list of benefits, as I sidetracked you on a completely different topic.
No, I'm glad you clarified that. It's very important. I don't want to perpetuate any negative stereotypes about our wonderful profession. So, but in terms of the benefits, when most entrepreneurs incorporate their business, the selection of the corporate vehicle is relatively unconscious. Most corporate lawyers that I know in Silicon Valley, you know, when an entrepreneur comes to them, they think, okay, are you going to raise venture capital? Is this a company that's going to need to raise money? Great. Your choice is either a California corporation or a Delaware corporation. And, you know, unless the entrepreneur is socially responsible and ESG inclined and is already on board with the benefit corporation B Corp bandwagon, the most corporate lawyers will just incorporate them in a regular C corporation.
I'd like to add that, you know, from my experience, my clients usually get their incorporation advice from their accountant, which we all know they can't give legal advice, but they do suggest, you know, when the right time to incorporate and formalize a legal entity is an LLC or an incorporation, you know, just a C corp. So,
yep.
Businesses also get advice on formation from accountants, and they don't know about a benefit corporation either.
Exactly. So part of the challenge is for us to educate, you know, the public about this option, because the benefit corporation is generally speaking very much values aligned with today's entrepreneur who's looking to have a purposeful business that exists for reasons primarily other than to just make money for shareholders. That's an important reason, but most businesses today are pretty purposeful. They're purpose-driven. And if you incorporate in a regular corporation, generally speaking, at the incorporation part, people aren't really thinking about values. They're thinking more of function. Oh, I just need to be incorporated. I need to get an employer ID number. I need to be able to open a bank account. Just put me in some sort of corporate vehicle. And, you know, corporations will serve you quite well, but they have hidden at their core the core value that they exist solely to maximize profit for shareholders. That is either the de jure law under Delaware, or it de facto becomes the norm in the boardroom. And that will, as your business gets bigger and you take on outside directors and maybe ultimately you go public, that becomes the silent core value that becomes much more apparent the bigger and more successful you become. So it's very important to have a legal architecture that supports you know, a multiple stakeholder approach to business and a multiple purpose approach to business that has a broader scope of action than the doctrine of shareholder primacy that's embedded in the prevailing form of corporation.
What do you mean by multiple stakeholders and multiple purpose?
Well, these are the two key differences between the benefit corporation and a regular corporation. The beauty of the benefit corporation is that it's identical to the existing corporation under, you know, most corporate forms, corporate statutes. except a couple of relatively simple differences. So all the corporate law that you know and all the corporate statutes, you know, apply just as much to regular, what we call C corporations, as benefit corporations, except the benefit corporation has the additional general purpose of providing a material positive impact on society and the environment from its operations taken as a whole. So you exist to optimize profit for shareholders, as usual, and you
right.
have the additional purpose of providing a material positive impact on society and the environment. So that's the key difference, number one. So it's a multiple purpose form. And generally, the beneficial purpose is in alignment with the entrepreneur's values. So getting back to the benefits of the benefit corporation, one of the benefits is by having this general public purpose of providing material positive impact on society and the environment, that makes the form more aligned with a socially responsible entrepreneur's own values. The second key piece is that in a conventional corporation, the fiduciary duties of the directors flow solely to the shareholders. So everything the directors do, with certain limited exceptions in bankruptcy and other situations, generally the fiduciary duties of the directors flow exclusively to the shareholders. In a benefit corporation, however, the fiduciary duties of the directors flow to all of the corporation's stakeholders, society, the environment, employees, vendors and suppliers, the communities in which the corporation does business. And what this does is it requires corporations to make much more nuanced and careful decisions. You can't just make decisions to maximize profit for shareholders. You make decisions to optimize profit, but you've got to consider the effect of corporate action on all of your stakeholders. And that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Is that why you I was just going to ask, is that why you describe the corporation as being on a hero's journey?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, the corporation exists today solely to maximize stockholder welfare. That's its total purpose. You know, it doesn't care about putting America first. It doesn't care about, you know, trade wars. It exists solely to maximize stockholder welfare. That's its only purpose. When you redesign the corporation, as we have done with the benefit corporation, so that you provide a general public purpose of providing a material positive impact on society and the environment, and you change the fiduciary duties of the directors to extend to all of the corporation's shareholders, you're fundamentally redesigning the corporation, and it requires a completely different mindset and a completely different approach to doing business. And this naturally takes a person on a developmental journey. It's a hero's journey. You have to show up differently. You go from a single bottom line approach to business to a triple or quadruple bottom line approach. And
I love the term, and I may co-opt it in the future. You know, we've talked a lot about the benefit corporations and you know, what benefits it allows company. I'd like to shift a little bit and talk about how Lex Ultima, your company that you just started at the beginning of this year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, how does Lex Ultima play into this whole process or this journey of yours?
Well, essentially, I help corporations and their leaders through this hero's journey. The biggest impediment, interestingly enough, I found to the adoption of the benefit corporation is fear.
Yes.
Human behavior change is really an interesting phenomenon. Whenever our conscious mind perceives the need to change, and in the benefit corporation context, that would be going from a solitary focus on maximizing profit to optimizing profit and providing a material positive impact on society and the environment. That's a very significant change. And
right.
The cognitive brain of a business person goes, yeah, I can do that. Mm-hmm. But the autonomous parts of the brain, the subconscious parts of the brain, that need to change behavior, because subconsciously we know, if I do that, it's going to change everything. It's going to change how I hire people. It's going to change how I employ people. It's going to change my benefits policies. It's going to change everything. It's going to change the way I do everything. That's a big change.
Right.
The subconscious part of the brain perceives that as a threat. And in the brain, it releases cortisol. In the adrenal system, in the hormonal system, it produces adrenaline. And those neurotransmitters and hormones create resistance. Bob Keegan at Harvard calls it the immunity to change. And so a lot of the work with benefit corporation conversion is really helping boards of directors and senior managers and executives go through their own hero's journey. And a lot of what I do with Lex Ultima, the legal work in helping somebody incorporate as a benefit corporation or convert into one is relatively simple. The hard part is this human piece. It's managing the behavior change that's underneath it all and helping people transcend the immunity to change that gets triggered when somebody seriously contemplates transforming an existing business into a benefit corporation. So a lot of my work is – pardon me?
Go ahead, finish.
Well, a lot of my work is simply, in a metaphorical sense, what I do is I look an executive in the eye and I acknowledge their fear. Yeah, it's a common fear that doing business this way will be less profitable. But if you've ever heard of Bob Eccles' work at Harvard Business School, his work provides evidence that that's not true. So the reality is you'll probably make more money doing business this way. So I literally, figuratively put my hand on the fellow's heart and tell them, look, it's going to be okay. You have nothing to be afraid of. So a lot of what Lex Ultima does at a simplistic level is it's fear management. I help people through their hero's journey and have the courage to do it.
That's such an amazing way to describe it. Gives me a different perspective on how we as lawyers can really help our clients. What types of industries or companies are you finding are interested in becoming benefit corporations or have become benefit corporations?
I think the preponderance of companies that I've worked with are in two industries, food and beverage, and medical. I think there's, one of the reasons why I moved from Silicon Valley to Marin County is Northern California is big on organic farms, farm to table, sort of regenerative approaches to business and agriculture. So there's a lot of food businesses up in Northern California, and a lot of the food industry has become benefit corporations or is interested in going this way. So food is one, and then medical products and life sciences companies tend to be altruistic, at least their founders are. They're not starting the company to make a lot of money. They're starting the company to solve a disease or make a big difference. So those are the two industries that have the least amount of resistance.
But and I have found this to be true. I don't know if you've experienced it, but a benefit corporation can be applicable to any industry, really. I haven't come across an industry that isn't a good fit for a benefit corporation. Have you?
No.
Yeah.
I think from a theoretical perspective, we wonder about a petrochemical company becoming a benefit corporation, or a firearms manufacturer becoming a benefit corporation. But it would even be possible for those kinds of businesses to become benefit corporations.
We can definitely put some heart and soul into any kind of business. So as we wrap up our show, how would somebody who's listening and is interested in making this hero's journey, not just setting up the legal foundation now, but also facing the fear of change head on, how would they contact you and say, John, I'd love to have a deeper conversation with you on how I can do this?
Well, I think they should start by just going to the Lex Ultima website, lexultima.com. My email address is on there. I think my phone number is on there. But I designed the website to be a repository of information for people that are curious, to help them get themselves educated and feel safe about considering this form for their business.
All right. So we will certainly have that on our show notes for everybody who missed the website, lexultima.com. And I know that, we're already at the end of the show, impossible as that sounds. And I know we talked a lot about some very technical things today. So feel free to reach out to John or myself if you heard a term that you're unfamiliar with or have a specific question. As always, what we talk about is just general descriptions of something. There's no specific legal advice taken. So please keep that in mind. And John, thank you so much for being our guest and sharing your knowledge with us and sharing a completely different way to do business that is more admirable, that is more sustainable, and that is just more community-based. I am so honored to have you as my leading gentleman today, and
thanks
to all of our listeners. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and every Friday at 2 p.m. live. You can catch all of our past shows on our website, and our next leading lady is going to be Sherry Kephart. She authored a memoir about healing from a mysterious illness. So that's next Monday at 9 a.m. Thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.